Hello, this is Maurice Harker. For almost 20 years, we have been building a team of hundreds of clinicians, coaches, mentors, and people just like you who have discovered and love to teach life-changing principles. Our coaches have made a special investment to make sure you can hear these messages. You will hear stories of triumph and healing from specialists and people having a real life just like you. We hope to increase your awareness that you are not alone, and there are so many others who are enlisted in this work to train and heal the whole family. You will find these principles are an amazing synergy of the most accurate, cutting-edge science with familiar gospel principles. We are passionate eternal warriors, and we hope you will join us.
Okay, hello and welcome back. We're so glad you're here.
I like being here.
Yeah, Maurice. Okay, Maurice Harker, the Director of Life Changing Services, is here, and I am so excited for him to talk about his book, Like Dragons Did They Fight. So really, Maurice, you know, there's the scripture in Mosiah 20:11, right? And it says, but they fought for their lives. You have it memorized. Go for it.
It's something like, for their lives and for their wives and for their children, like dragons did they fight.
Yes. Therefore, they exerted themselves. And like dragons did they fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, this podcast, the name of it is Like Dragons Did They Fight. And it's for a reason. A lot of it is, how do you, why do you, what do you do? Like in our day, this modern warfare that we're facing, I'm just interested, why did you name your book Like Dragons Did They Fight?
Thank you for that question. It goes way back. It took years to come up with that title. So much of my work, I start with the sensation, the idea, the feel, not much different than the way a musician composes music. They have an idea of what message they're trying to send, what sensation they're trying to create. And when I first started working with people who had a strong desire to acquire self-mastery, especially in the area of sexual self-mastery, the sensation and the feel of the people was very depleted, very hopeless, very shame-filled, very gooey and lethargic. And I was very sad when I met them, and I was very sad when I interviewed them. And there was quite a bit of, you know, if you find someone up in Alaska who's been sitting next to a tree for some time and they're freezing to death, and you say, come on, let's go, let's get moving. And they say, just leave me here to die. Okay.
Right.
That was a common attitude of the people I was first meeting. And they're like, I'm an addict. I've always been an addict. I haven't been able to fix it yet. I've already talked to lots of people. I already read my scriptures and sing to him and da da da. And I'm still a horrible person. And you might as well just give. As you might guess, that was sad for me. And then I started studying the current methods, the methods of the time for training of self-mastery, etc. And there was a little bit of a nudge. There was a little bit of a lift. A lot of it had an academic approach to it. Like, if you just understand what's wrong with you, if you just understand what's wrong with you, and I'm all, I don't know how much morale that's nurturing and encouraging. Then when I started really studying the biochemistry associated with addiction, and because we as humans don't spend a lot of time observing our own biochemistry, most people don't think, I wonder what my brain chemistry is doing now. I wonder what I'm feeling now. And so most of us, unfortunately, are barely able to pay attention to what we're feeling. Most of us are barely able to pay attention to what we're thinking. So once you get a person like a little skilled in the area of thinking and feeling, you can start to introduce them to the idea that, did you notice under these circumstances you feel deflated? Did you notice under these circumstances you feel invigorated? Did you notice under these circumstances you feel excited, and under these circumstances you feel depressed? And we started to help them relate those chemical sensations to feelings and noticing patterns. And one of the patterns that people see all the time in movies that are sports movies or military movies is it always builds up to that moment where the hero is about to give up. The hero is about to just throw in the towel and I can't do this and it's too hard and the enemy is too strong. And then the music changes. Da, 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 okay. And you see them rise up out of the dirt and you see them become strong. And whether it's the cartoon version or the athletic version, whatever it is, you see this buildup. And now as a moviegoer, that was exciting to watch. But as a therapist, when you would see the same thing happen in their brains, where they started to rise up, where they started to become invigorated, when they started to go, "Wah!" And watching the impact that has on responding to addictive impulses. When they're losing their confidence and what we now call drifting down this chemical scale, and they're becoming more lethargic and gooey and less dedicated. But once they understand that that shift that takes place, that shift that we now call warrior chemistry, that shift where there's the flip of, I was a loser, I was giving up, but now I'm going to access the combination of internal energy to fight for my wife, my life, my children, my freedom, combined with connecting myself to God. And as I was pondering the required sensation needed to truly rise above something as powerful as an addiction, the only phrase that could capture that I could find was, like dragons, did they fight? And that's where it came from.
That's excellent. And so really it's that moment when they think, exerting myself is totally worth it because I have an understanding and evidence that I can beat this thing because I'm a son or daughter of God and I can see the real enemy. There's something I'm fighting.
That brings in the other angle. I was talking to a bishop the other day, and he's also a mental health person. So he knows, he's trained. And so he's been using traditional methods, which include, and he had heard the concept of Satan talking to you and how he's involved in that process. And he had looked into it enough to be curious about it, but he was doing that normal thing that we do in our culture where you're kind of juggling between personal responsibilities, personal psychology, Satan's participation. So on the one hand, he's going, I've been teaching my whole life the doctrine of the gospel of Jesus Christ, where Satan does something to your brain. He's involved somewhere with temptations, etc. But my profession tells me that you have to take responsibility and you've got to adjust your own processes, etc. And so I introduced him to what I call the satanic psychological civil war technique, where referring to Horan, the political leader in the Book of Mormon, at the same time that Moroni was the military leader, and how they almost went to war with each other. They almost went to blows. And when he allowed for me to introduce an adjustment to the story, when we considered the idea, what if the Lamanites had intervened with the messages and distorted the messages to the point where Pahoran and Moroni started to actually attack each other and started to fight with each other. And when I compared that to how lots of people talk about their internal experience with, I'm fighting myself, and that very popular phrase that's even promoted in some psychology worlds, you are your own worst enemy. Which nowadays, and as I was reminding this church leader, where did those terms come from? The negative self-talk term, the you are your own worst enemy term. And he was a bit surprised, but he wasn't really that surprised to realize scientists had to make up some kind of explanation for where those thoughts came from. But because he was well indoctrinated with the gospel principles, it didn't take much to convince him that the scientists got it wrong and the prophets got it right. And you can see a little shock in his system because he was aware he'd been teaching it wrong for a while. And as a church leader who discovers they've been teaching it wrong, it's a little uncomfortable. The urgency that we have here to teach that negative thoughts are satanic thoughts, even if the thought is, your wife is a difficult person to talk to. And he was like, wait, that's satanic also? I'm all, Satan is not only tempting us, he's also tormenting. He likes to stick a little thorn in your craw and just mess with you and just get you agitated, aggravated, frustrated, irritated, just to keep building up the negative pressure until something gets unpleasant. And I'm working really hard with our new spiritual psychology masterclass to help people see in greater and greater detail how many different ways Satan can get in your head and start having conversations. And so we want our people to experience and discover that it's really hard to fight yourself like a dragon. It's really hard because no one will pull a sword out and run it through their own chest. But most of us don't fight very hard when we think we are our own worst enemy. But once you understand that someone else has been messing with you, some ferocious and serious opponent, then you can bring your full energy like a dragon.
Ooh. So, you know, in your book on page 35, under the chapter about the chemical scale that you just brought up earlier, as it relates to tormenting, it's about everything in your life. Like they're very determined to just, the whole thing of making people miserable is real. So here's what this paragraph says, and I just think it's so awesome. It says, as you might guess, the goal is for each of us to function at a level zero. What's a level zero? Just quickly.
When your head is completely clear of chemicals and satanic conversations and you're at your best.
Okay, to function at a level zero as much as possible. Edmund Burke, a philosopher supporting the American Revolution, said the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. We are the great warriors of the final generation. We are the noble and great ones. If all the dark side has to do to keep us from our foreordained greatness is to get us stuck at level one, which is, tell me real quick.
Level one is when you're just off. You're not doing anything horrible. You're not sinning. You're not beating children. You're not lighting cats on fire. You're not doing anything horrible. You're just lethargic, gooey, off base, not as sharp as you could be.
Okay. If to just get us stuck at level one, where we don't feel like doing small and simple good things, then the war is won. But not by us. I'm sure Satan finds great pleasure in using the spin to get the noble and great ones to reach a level 10, where you really have just given it all up and gone way beyond your value system. You didn't write that. I just said that. But I am also convinced anytime he can get an individual entangled at any level between a 1 and a 10, it keeps the individual from anxiously engaging in a good cause. I hope this bothers you. I love that. I hope this bothers you. I hope by now, after reading about this amazing subtle attack on your mind and on your life, you are beginning to become ferocious, determined to learn how to win. Let's go. Let's go there now. So good. So that's so awesome. So Maurice, just that piece of, there's so many amazing people who have so much truth in their life and are so frustrated. And they don't know about this little space there where the science is affecting how you're trying to spiritually apply things in your life. And when they get, hey, when I just hear a thought that says, I don't feel like doing that. I think that's kind of hard. I don't do that much work. When we see that that's got some satanic influence in it.
There's so many ways that Satan will tip someone out of their, what we call the zone, the zero zone. Those who have an athletic background have some familiarity with what it feels like to be in the zone. And you're sharp, you're clear, you're calm, you're focused, you're edifying, you're energetic, but it's at this smooth samurai style level where you don't have to run around showing off. You're just sharp and clear. So you just go do. And so there's so many ways that Satan tries to knock us off track. For some of us, it's the anxiety technique, like, but you can do good, but you won't get it all done. or the depression technique. You can do good, but it won't really matter that much in the end anyway. Or, you know, there's just so many ways you can do good, but it'll probably be embarrassing because someone will make fun of it. And so anytime he can introduce a conversation that is designed to sabotage your central focus. Now, interestingly, again, we see this science very clearly in high-level sports. Because when you have professionals who are up against each other where skill and strength is not the issue, because they're all skilled and they're all very strong, sometimes the only thing you can do to beat your opponent is some version of either demoralization or team conflict, where you can get the team players to be frustrated with each other or aggravated with each other or out of sync with each other. And so when you look at your own brain, even if there's no one around you and you're not in sync with yourself and you're questioning your steps or overthinking something or undermotivated or under ferocious, because in sports, you have to have a version of ferocity in order to conquer whatever you're trying to accomplish. Some people will call it testosterone. Some people will call it adrenaline. We intentionally don't use the name of chemicals because all of our stuff is for the layman, not for the scientist. Besides, the chemical elements of the brain are still mysterious even to the scientists. We have some idea of what's going on, but all of us are familiar with what it feels to have certain chemical sets running through our bodies. So when we feel protective, I feel similar feelings that you feel when we are in need to be protected. When I'm feeling invigorated, that is a similar chemical set in my brain as it is with yours. And when I feel like it's time to fight for something and fight for it hard, that is also a similar chemical set in my brain as it is yours. So the name of it is not as relevant as the familiar sensation. And so the sensation associated with being willing to fight like a dragon for the protection of loved ones is often necessary to win a psychological war with Satan, who's trying to lead you into addictive behaviors or family destructive behaviors or anything that is designed to demoralize you or crush what you do.
Oh, yeah, so good. And so just, you know, people who are listening, I bet you're wondering, oh, so what do you do about it? Like, how do you fight? Right? Just go into a little, you know, about 10 Legos worth of that. We're almost out of time. So, yeah.
Okay. Of course, training someone to win psychological warfare takes a lot more time than just a few minutes, but it will give you a hint as to how it's done. But it's kind of like training someone to be a professional athlete by using a 5-minute conversation, or a professional piano player using a 5-minute conversation. Okay. Phase one is we help heighten discernment so that you can tell when you're under attack. As you might guess, if you can't even tell that someone's trying to kill you or wipe you out, then they're probably going to win before you even have a chance to start fighting back. So we do lots of discernment training to help you see that you're being snuck up on. And it's a little shocking when you first start studying it because you're going, oh, wait, that's a satanic attack and that's a satanic attack. I thought that was just me having a random thought. Well, he's the serpent and he's the most subtle of all the beasts of the field. And he will slither his way into your head before you know it. And sometimes he slithers in, moves the furniture around a little bit and then leaves. And he's all, what? Nothing bad happened. So why not let me in more often? Nothing bad happened. Why not just let me run around over a little bit more? Then what used to be considered the best way is some kind of a paradigm shift or attitude shift about, well, you just need to desire to win. Well, I've met lots of people who want to play basketball really well or want to play the piano really well, but if they don't actually train, then they will never get as good as they want to. So yes, you must have the desire, but the desire must be strong enough that you actually practice. And in the same way that there's a very specific set of skills required to defend someone in a basketball game or to play a musical instrument, or to swim across a pool if you want to do so with any timely manner, It takes specific skills that you practice over and over and over and over and over and over again. Then you add the weightlifting part and the endurance part, where you have to get strong enough and have the endurance to actually execute the techniques that you've been practicing. And so just because you have some skill doesn't mean you do it fast, doesn't mean you do it strong, doesn't mean you do it with full resilience. And even those have to be trained. And so if you're going to win a psychological battle with a 7,000-year-old subtle genius like Satan, you're going to have to train. And the New Testament tells us that there's no temptation taken you, but such a way as prepared, something like that.
I kind of have that one memorized. There's no temptation taken you, except that is common to man. But the Lord is merciful or compassionate, one of those words, that he'll provide a way for you to escape.
And providing a way to escape, as with Limhi and his people, was not just a open door and walk out. It involved a lot of technique, strategy, etc. So when Captain Rone helps his people escape from the attacks of the Lamanites, it's not just a positive mental attitude. It's a set of well-trained skills with strategy behind it. And so the entire training system behind the book, Like Dragons Did They Fight, is designed to introduce you to that and give you an opportunity to be trained to be good at those skills, so that you don't just sit and hope you can win without actually being trained. Because there's nothing more frustrating than hope without training, because you keep wondering why you lose.
So that's why we love Like Dragons Did They Fight. That's why we love this book. This book has influenced every program at Life Changing Services. We started with one program, you working with teenage young men, boys who were getting ready to go on missions, and thought, okay, I have a really great desire to serve and a really great desire to understand the psychological side of this as it applies to what we're spiritually trying to do here. And so I think with that great desire, it's so obvious that you are led and inspired and available for God to give you a download, right? And so, because this book is just so awesome. And so it's not just for people with addictions, with sexual self-mastery.
No, a few years ago, we had plenty of readers come to us and request that we expand the audience. And so in the 2017 version of Like Dragons Did They Fight, which is the most current version, we met together as a team and we went through the book and we expanded the age group. So the book is now written for all ages. We expanded it to be applicable to men and women, and we expanded it to all self-mastery subjects. And so you'll still see an emphasis in it on sexual self-mastery, but it's very easy to read it now and feel very comfortable no matter whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're 60 years old or 16 years old, and whether you're just wanting to get the mastery to get to the gym every day or eat less ice cream or stop the pornography issues you might have. So now it's prepared for all people who want to fight self-mastery issues, which is the core of the repentance process. If you want to follow President Nielsen's strong urgings to successfully repent on a regular basis, repentance is not complete unless there's been change, unless there's been an improvement to self-mastery. And so you pick any subject you want, any area of your life you want to gain mastery in, and you want to not only change because you have a better attitude, but you want to change your thinking patterns, your behavioral patterns, so that you can become a permanently different person in an improved way, the Like Dragons book is specifically designed for you.
So good. When I first met you, there was no Like Dragons Did They Fight book. My son was in the Sons of Helaman program, and it still worked, right? Because you had a little teeny booklet that kind of went through these things in a skeleton way. But when you wrote the book, that just really created this big explosion of, okay, now everybody can see what you're teaching in that group. But really quickly before you leave, what kind of influence has your Like Dragons Did They Fight book had? How many copies have been spread around, and what kind of impact has it had? And are you?
My hope was just to provide a handbook for the students of Sons of Helaman. And so my hope was, you know, we had 8 boys at first, and then 16, and then 24. And I was thrilled when we got up to 100 copies sold or given to our guys. And then for some reason, they kept telling people about it, and their parents wanted copies, and they shared it with people, and someone else told someone else about it, et cetera, et cetera. And according to our last count, the paperback version has sold in the neighborhood of 75,000 copies. Yes. But when we really got dedicated to just making sure the principles got out to everybody about 10 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, especially when social media became more popular, we decided it didn't cost us anything to give away the electronic version of it, the ebook version of it. And so we've given away another 75,000 with just the electronic book. And that's just on last count, which was months ago. Just through Facebook, we were giving away 30 to 50 a day of the Like Dragons book. And so the exciting thing for me is meeting people who I've never met before, who've been implementing the principles and watching it change their lives and their families. It is just a thrill to me. These are not my principles. They were passed on to me through revelation and through scientific research. And so when people say, what about the copyright? I'm not making any effort to control the sharing of this. If you get an ebook link to it, share it with other people. If you want to buy copies of it, we're just asking people to just pay enough to cover the cost of it and a little bit more so we can do more outreach to more people. So we're not making any money off of this book. We're just using all the proceeds to make it available to more people. And so the link should be attached to this podcast where you can get your own free copy of the ebook. And then you'll get a follow-up email that invites you to buy the book yourself. So you have a paperback if you prefer that. But it's just a thrill to be a part of getting the principles out to the people.
Amen. I'm so glad I was one of those people. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you for listening. As you can see, we are very enlisted in what we have learned and hope to teach. If you have found today's message inspiring, please share this podcast with family and friends so others can enjoy and be edified along with us. Be sure to download the free book that holds all the core principles behind what we teach. This book is called Like Dragons Did They Fight. You will find a link for that free download at Like Dragons Free. And remember, you can find all the life-changing resources, programs, and trainings needed for you and your family at lifechangingservices.org.